Good morning. You know me. God knows and cares about each one of us. He knows the number of hairs on our head. And for some of us, it's getting a lot easier for him to count, right? The point of all that is that every life is precious to God. Every human life is especially precious to God. It has enormous value because all people carry the very stamp of God's likeness around with them. Even the worst of us were all made in the very image of God. Today is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. It's a day set aside by thousands of churches across our country, a day to remember, a day to mourn, a day to resolve to change the ghastly state of affairs in this country that has legalized the taking of innocent, unborn human life through abortion on demand. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that since that horrendous Supreme Court decision back in January of 1973, over 56 million innocent babies have been legally put to death in this country. And that is way more than the population of California, Oregon, and Washington combined. Now just try to get a handle on that. Imagine somehow the entire West Coast, those states being somehow, God forbid, wiped out so that every person living there was obliterated. You still wouldn't have as many deaths as happened via abortion. We think of 9/11 as a terrible loss of life, and certainly it was, but we could have a 9/11 every day for 18,667 days. That's a 9/11 every single day for 51 years. To approach the number of deaths via abortion in this country. This is astounding. It's absolutely horrific. One life is too many, but 56 million is just devastating. And this doesn't count the tens of millions of women who have been victimized into getting an abortion by the money-hungry abortion industry. I call it big abortion. You've heard of big business, big Wall Street, big government, big this, big that. Well, big abortion has told these mothers lies in order to get them to have abortions, to get their hands on their money. Abortion takes an innocent human life and makes victims of women who are often scarred for life. I know because I have counseled some of them who years afterward are still struggling with the guilt of that. And the numbers keep growing. Some 150 per hour, 3,600 per day. Now, these are just numbers, maybe, to us. But remember that every one of those is a life just as precious as the most precious member of your family, your son, your daughter, your mother, your father, your husband, your wife. Every life is precious. That song that we just heard and sang along with, "You Know My Name," reminds me of the scripture. Well, it had to, because we saw the lines up there along with the song in that great slide presentation from Psalm 139, where King David shows us that God considers human life in the womb to be not just a blob of tissue, but what science tells us it is, and that is a human life, a precious human life. Let's look again at that passage, and help me out as we come to the yellow print. David, speaking about God, he says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. Hey, they cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake up, you are still with me." Doesn't sound like he's describing a blob of tissue to me, does it to you? I can't even number the precious thoughts about me, David says. Now, sometimes we're told that guys like me just can't understand this topic because we're men. Nor can pro-life women, because they've been too sheltered all their lives from what life is really like for women. But today, we're going to hear from a woman who was once strongly pro-abortion and has dramatically changed. And you can't say that this woman is not acquainted with life in the fast lane, the ways of the world. The change came about as a direct result of two primary factors. One, she became a Christ follower. And second, she studied the medical facts, the scientific medical facts about the preborn. Now, you might not think of a person like this as your typical pro-life advocate. It might seem a little unusual for one of the most famous and successful supermodels of all time to be so outspokenly pro-life. But Kathy Ireland is. Let's listen and watch what she has to say. Yes, a supermodel at Stony Creek Church. Yes, indeed. Well, maybe you're watching this and listening and wondering, well, what could we do about all of this? And that, of course, is an excellent question. Of course, we need to always be in prayer about the need to change the hearts of our leaders and just the people in our country. But I've listed here some things that I think are a little more tangible and action-oriented, things that we can all do Always vote pro-life. Always vote pro-life. If somebody is not clear on this issue and supportive of life, that person, that candidate, is not worthy of your vote. You say, well, I'm not a single-issue voter. What issue could be more foundational than the life of a child? That, to me, seems, if you can't trust them with that, what can you trust them with? Secondly, share the facts with pro-abortion friends and relatives. Do it in a friendly way. Don't be obnoxious, but share the facts with people. Support the Crossroads Pregnancy Center. There are many pregnancy centers in the area that are pro-life and helping women with this. The Crossroads Center is in Auburn Hills, and we support that here at Stony financially. It's one of our mission organizations. And so volunteer or donate your time, donate diapers, call them and ask them what they could use there. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the Crossroads Center. It might be a center that's closer to you. Help out a pregnant woman who has no place to turn. I know some of you have done this. And I know these pregnancy centers can connect you with somebody. Maybe you've got a spare room at your house, a bedroom that isn't being used. Maybe your kids have moved away or whatever. And you say, you know, that room is just unoccupied. Well, what a great way to help out, to bring in a young woman who's pregnant and needs some support and needs a place to stay. Another thing is to use social media to share the pro-life message. We're all on Facebook, and again, you know, don't be obnoxious. Share with grace, but do it. Be open, like Kathy Ireland was saying. Another thing is to be a good Christian example of our morals, our values. We've got to walk the walk, not just talk the talk, in the way we conduct ourselves. And then finally, share the good news of forgiveness and wholeness that only Jesus can give. There have been many lives shattered through abortion. Many people carry around guilt. Sometimes guys that, you know, have maybe paid for their girlfriend or wife to have one or encouraged them to get an abortion. And they're walking around with guilt. We need to be good news to these folks to say, you can come to Jesus. You can find that forgiveness. You can be washed clean. You can start over through the Lord Jesus. You see, all of us are sinners, folks. It's not just people who get abortions or abortion doctors or whatever. We all need God's forgiveness. We need His restoration. And so we can't look down on anybody. We can only offer the grace of God that has been offered to us. Which brings us to our celebration of the Lord's Supper. I'm going to ask the elders who are going to be assisting to come and help me distribute the elements today. It's the third Sunday of the month. And on the third Sunday at this service, we celebrate the Lord's Supper, which means we remember what He did for us. The broken bread is a symbol of His broken body for us, broken on the cross. The cup is a representation of His blood that was poured out for us. Why remember such a gruesome way to die? Well, it's because who was dying? Jesus, the Son of God, God in human flesh. And it's because of why He was dying. He was giving His life for us as a sacrifice so that our sins could be forgiven, could be atoned for. And through faith in Jesus, anybody who trusts in Him will not perish but have everlasting life.